How can we become more valuable and relevant to our decision makers right now at this phase of the pandemic? How can we offer a more compelling reason to meet now versus after the pandemic, whenever that's going to be? And last but not least, what would be some compelling reasons to meet now versus after the holidays? You guys know you're going to start hearing that soon. On this week's episode of the Sales Playbook Podcast, we're going to go there. My name is Paul Castain from Castain Training Systems, and I'm the author of the YourSalesPlaybook.com blog and your host for the Sales Playbook Podcast. I've personally trained over 30,000 sales reps, sales leaders, and business owners to sell more. So get your playbooks ready because school is now in session. This week's episode of the Sales Playbook Podcast is brought to you by our Prospecting During Uncertain Times download, and you can learn more about it by visiting yoursalesplaybook.com/sell now. I'll be talking about it at the end of the podcast. Now, one thing I want to do before we get going is I want to do a very quick shout out to someone who is kind enough to leave us a review over on Apple Podcasts. And they didn't leave, you know, like their full name, like Jane Jones or, you know, Paul Castain. They used their username. So the shout out is going out to Lorian24. And here's what Lorian24 had to say about the Sales Playbook Podcast. This is a great podcast for actionable sales learning. Always walk away with new things to try, and I'm better for it. So thank you very much, Lorian24. And so that I can give you a proper thank you and remember my manners here, shoot me an email, paul@yoursalesplaybook.com, and let me know your name. So this way I can get back on here and just give you a proper thank you. And also, you know, obviously thank you through an email. But the one thing I want to ask you guys is, you know, one of the biggest things that you can do for me, not that you owe me a damn thing, but one of the best things in the world, and it's the equivalent of going to your favorite bar and there's a musician and you tip them. The best tip that you could possibly give me would be going by and just taking, it's going to take about 3 to 4 minutes, maybe 5 minutes out of your life. If you find value in the podcast, go over to Apple Podcasts and actually write a review. Hey, I appreciate the 5 stars. Don't get me wrong. If you want to give me 5 stars, have at it. But the absolute best thing you could do for me and to keep this podcast cranking, we've been going for 10 years, by the way, and over 300 episodes, is to stop by Apple Podcasts, write an actual review. Here's what's going to happen if you do it. This isn't a popularity contest for me. I'm not feeling needy that I need all the little compliments. But from the perspective of Apple, when they see these reviews, they will rank it higher. Again, it's still not a popularity contest for me. What it does, though, is for people like you guys, is it helps people like you find the podcast. At some point, you found this podcast. Other people don't know it exists. So if you find value in this and you want them to be able to get access to these free tips, please write a review. So enough of that. That is like a long time for me to be beating around the bush. You know how I feel about some of these podcasts where they're taking 10 minutes to get to the effing point. I really didn't want to spend that much time not getting down to business. So today we're going to talk about 3 questions that can really make or break your sales. And one of the things that I've been trying to drive home lately is that every tiny bit counts normally, but this year, with this year that we've had, with the sucker punch that we all received, compliments of the pandemic, we need every little advantage that we can get to kind of maybe sort of pull out a decent year even, right? Wouldn't that even be good, having a decent year after all this? So there are 3 questions that we're going to tackle. And the one disclaimer that I have is that if you've been listening to me for a while, if you're a subscriber of the YourSalesPlaybook.com blog, you'll know that this is not new territory. I've written about it multiple times. But here's the thing, and why I'm choosing to repeat this sermon with you. Number one, some of you never took action, and I'm not here to make you feel bad. I'm not going to tell you to hang your head in shame, march you through town saying shame, 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 and all that from Game of Thrones. We're not going to do that. But, you know, knowing shit and doing shit are two different things. I just want to make sure you're doing the shit. So that's one reason why I'm bringing it up again. But there's another reason why we have to repeat the sermon. Because you have to admit that this whole pandemic, in a way, is a moving target. The things that initially we had to do, some of them, those things are irrelevant, right? They're very different. The challenges, maybe that we had a few months ago, we really don't have. Example, all of a sudden we're working from home. Well, by now, I hope the hell you figured it out. It's what, only 6-7 months in, right? It's probably, you know, a different type of challenge that you have now. So this is constantly changing. And I would tell you that even during normal, remember the days when it was normal? And people didn't say shit like new normal? Remember that? How cool was that? So we got to just hear somebody say new normal. And we don't have to give them the eye roll. Like, really? But anyway, even under normal circumstances, we really should have this thought process. So the very first question that I want you to, you're going to be doing some things with this exercise. It's an exercise I'm going to have you go through. So you're going to kind of ask yourself this question and write down the answers and, you know, maybe set it aside, revisit it again in a day or two. Don't, and set an alert on your phone so you don't forget about it. I don't want you taking 7 years to do this, because then you're going to have to do the whole damn exercise again because it's a moving target. So I want you to do that first, you know, once you have a chance to think it through on your own. And then I want you to take this exercise to your sales manager and your sales team and ask if you guys can brainstorm it as a team so that you get the collective brain power of the team. Because, you know, as good and awesome as I'm sure you are, you don't have all the answers. So why not get the collective brain power of the team? But also, too, I think it's also going to be a better sales meeting for you to have when you have this, instead of some of that lame shit that you guys talk about in sales meetings, like Mary's numbers and Bob's numbers. And I can't speak for you guys, but I usually don't care about Bob's numbers and Mary's numbers. And as far as my numbers go, why are we taking time out for, you know, a sales meeting? For that, isn't that something that either, oh, I don't know, you would go into Salesforce and run a report, or I could even run it for you and, you know, get it to you, right? Or maybe during our one-on-one. But this will be a much better type of meeting for you. So question number one is, how can I be more relevant / valuable to decision makers right now? And that's the key part of the question. Right now, we're not talking about a month from now when things change again, because things are changing rapidly. I'm talking right now, right this second. What is most relevant and valuable to decision makers right now? So I'm going to give you a few examples. And the only reason why I'm giving you these examples is I want it. that sounded so awkward, the way I want it. Right? I don't know who talks that way. But anyway, let's try it again, because I'm going to actually sing it this time. But because I want this to kind of spark better, more relevant ideas for your world. These are just idea starters. So right now, is it safe to say that a lot of the decision makers out there are trying their best to stretch their budget? And in some cases, they might even be out of budget. So maybe there's some low-cost ideas that they can do. Heck, I mean, I have that with sales training. I have some companies that they are out of budget. So what do? Turn my back on them? No, there is some cool free stuff that you can do in the meantime. The point is, we've got to keep training. We got to keep building up those muscles. But also, too, you have a lot of situations, because there was a lot of layoffs. And one thing I learned from I'm laughing, it's not funny. Like I almost said the last pandemic is because I've been through quite a few. I don't know if you guys know this. I'm about 185 years old. So before you mock me for my appearance, let's see if you look as good as me at 185. But what I was going to say before I just kind of took a silly pill is in the last recession, one of the things that we quickly realize is that, okay, when you have these layoffs and this downsizing, well, in many cases now, you have people that are now doing the jobs of two and three other people. So one of the challenges they have, one of the things that's very relevant to a decision maker right now, is doing more with less. Budgeting for the new year, right? That's something that's going on. But, you know, also getting some good advice with that with the budgeting. Have you ever had a situation, and this is really kind of dumbing down the concept, where maybe you're talking to your significant other about some things you need to get on a shopping list? It could be Home Depot, or it could be grocery shopping or whatever, or in my case, the liquor store. And a conversation I had with Mrs. Uncle Paul recently. And there you are, you know, you're putting together the list, and yeah, my list, I need to get bourbon or whatever. And then she said to me, well, actually, you don't need to get bourbon, because just as a side note, everybody, my oldest moved back in. He came to his senses. He realized how much he missed me. But he came back home, and he actually did come to his senses, because he realized that the money he would save living at home versus chipping in on the apartment that he had with a couple of his fraternity brothers and all the expenses, that within about 18 months with the money he's already saved, you know, he's very good at saving money, but with the lack of that overhead now, he could just move right into a house or a condo. Pretty cool, right? So anyway, so my wife said, well, since Paul moved back in, he had, you know, he brought and he, you know, he told us, you know, have at the liquor, you know, you guys are nice enough to let me come back home. And, you know, he has some really, and he has impeccable taste in bourbon. But you know what I'm saying? Sometimes when you have someone that you review a list with, or your action plan with, or in this case, a budget, they can say, well, actually, you don't need this. Here's another way you can do it. Or here's a more cost-effective way. Here's something that might cost you a little bit more initially, but, oh my gosh, the savings within 6-8 months even will, you know, more than pay for it, that kind of thing. But also, we have the holiday slowdown that a lot of businesses have. Also, holiday-specific challenges that they might have. They might be running really, really strong, and they're trying to meet all kinds of deadlines and things. Again, doing more with less. There also could be things with perception right now, especially with COVID-19. And what I mean by that, there could be safety concerns and perceptions. Well, is this really safe? And yet to do this, I guess the only way I can do this is face-to-face. Let me give you another example, because I really want to beat the hell out of some of these points. I had an issue with the tire on one of the cars that went flat. And I was going to be a manly man and just change it and throw the spare on myself. It happened. The best kind of flat, my dad used to say, is a driveway flat. It was a driveway flat. It happened to be on my daughter's car. And I was going to be a manly man and change it. My wife reminded me we had a little something called AAA, their road service. And when I called them, what I thought was very interesting that they did, it wasn't really necessary with me because I wasn't really thinking about safety and COVID and everything else. I'm used to wearing a mask. I'm used to distancing. And what they did was they, in the little recorded message while you're waiting, they were saying some of the precautions that are in place now. And even things like sometimes like when a car breaks down on the road, the tow truck comes and then you ride shotgun in the tow truck. They can't do that anymore, at least in New York State, with the guidelines for social distancing and safety. So they went through some of that. And then when I was on the phone with the person who was setting up the service call, they went and just reiterated some of the guidelines. Now, they're doing it not only in a cover your ass move, because everybody's doing a cover your ass move right now, but they're doing it to really put the other person at ease so they know, wow, they're taking precautions, because people are still quite worried about this. So, anywho, things like that, the perception of safety, but also, do you think it's possible that people also have perceptions and concerns that, well, okay, so if I switch over to you, I mean, are you going to be around? I mean, a lot of businesses have gone under. What's your financial health looking like right now? So things like that, I think, is important. Even certainly from their perspective and how they're being seen and the way clients of theirs are looking at them from a safety and financial type of perspective. Compliance with the local laws with social distancing. Working from home is still a thing. And, you know, working from home most effectively, there might be something there that can help them. Your solution somehow might be able to be tied to that. Quick side note, and we have to get really good at looking at our solution from the COVID angle and from the angle of the pandemic and all the challenges now that we have because of those things. So when my son first started working from home and they, you know, threw everybody out of the office, like all of us, well, not really me, I've been working from home now technically since 2007. And my son, though, they said, okay, we got to shut it down, going to be working from home. He actually started doing much better as a sales professional because he started looking at his solution through the lens of how is this relevant right now? Kind of the exercise we're doing on this podcast. And one of the things he realized and his team realized is that our customers are working from home right now. And they sell property management software, by the way. So now they're managing these properties, these, you know, apartments and condos and co-ops and things like that, now from home. And the solution that my son offers, his company offers, actually can help them do that seamlessly. So that helped him change up the message. And at a time like this, folks, you have to be changing up your messaging. You have to. And this exercise, I hope, is going to help you a little bit. But also, too, there's some other things that I want you to think about. In some cases, it might be, you know, like some of the things they're thinking about and things that would make you more relevant, maybe helping them pivot. Maybe they haven't pivoted yet and they really needed to. Maybe there's things that you're seeing in the industry that you can come along and demonstrate your expertise and value by helping them and educating them. But also, I mean, how about things like, I mean, when we talk about, you know, complying with the local social distancing things, you know, I mean, right now, one of the things they think some businesses are thinking about, contactless delivery. Things like that are rather important. But also, too, you know, a lot of these businesses and decision makers are thinking about cash flow at a time like this, right? I know, crazy that they would be thinking about having cash to ride out some aspects of the storm. Financing is very, very valuable to them. Anything that you can do to help them with financing, not only your product through your organization, but there might be some third-party resources that can help them. And I'll give you a quick example of that. One of the things that I've offered on my website over on yoursalesplaybook.com, I've done it probably at least twice during the pandemic. I certainly, on a regular basis, share it over on LinkedIn, over on Twitter. And I was thinking it's really time for me to do it again, but I wrote a blog post explaining how easy it is to finance hiring a sales coach, where it's not where you're shelling out the almost $2,000 fee to hire me as a coach. You can go now through PayPal, and it's very easy to do, as long as you qualify for the financing. You could break that down into bite-sized payments instead of shelling that out. But it's not only just that. I also show in the blog post how you can finance actual sales training. In other words, you want to train your whole sales team, but money's a little tight, but you know you really need these tactics right now that I'm offering. I was showing everyone how you could actually finance that as well. So things like that make you more valuable. And I didn't just put it up on the website. These are conversations that I have with people when I'm prospecting. It's kind of in the quote-unquote bag of tricks. The other thing, too, in fact, you know, I want to guide your thinking a little bit more on this. I mean, I want you to think about some of the different ways and kind of categories of being more valuable and relevant. So you can kind of think of things like in by industry. How can you be, for example, one of the industries, one of the many industries that I serve is printing, also software. So, and believe it or not, a lot of other people that do what I do, training and coaching and things like that. So I actually work with a lot of people, not necessarily competitors, but people that are in essence doing what I'm doing, but just maybe in different verticals and so on. But so you can think about it by industry, you can think about it by location, because some of the things that I was talking about with complying, it's local laws that you are complying with, because every state has different laws and they're at different phases of the reopening. Also too, you could do it by trigger event. Remember trigger events, we talk about it a lot here. And a trigger event is something that's going on in your prospect or your client's world that would lead to a higher probability of them needing your product or service. So, for example, if I see that you are a vice president of sales and you're hiring a lot of sales reps, or I noticed over on LinkedIn, we're connected, and you're constantly posting these different opportunities within your company for sales reps, that's a trigger event. Because why? Because, well, when you hire new sales reps, I'm hoping training is part of the agenda, right? I mean, you can't just sit them out there and say, okay, go with God. You give them the blessing and you send them on out there. That was even shitty back in the 70s, man. It just doesn't fly anymore. You have to invest in them and you have to make them armed and dangerous when they get out there. So, but you could do it that way. But also, too, you can do it by buyer persona. And what we mean by that is that we have different types of, not only just different types of buyers, but also different types of stakeholders that are involved in the decision. So in my world, we have, well, obviously an executive vice president of sales is going to have certain things that are very relevant to them because they're going to be more higher level. Then we have middle management, and we have more your sales managers and your regional sales managers, maybe even a director of sales type. They're going to have very different needs and find different things to be relevant for them, specifically for them. We're going to have sales reps like you guys. You're going to have very different needs, and you're going to find things that are going to be very relevant specific to you. So, for example, if you're a sales rep, and I'm sitting here right now in this podcast talking about, you know, how you can manage sales reps. What do you really give a shit about that, right? You're the sales rep. You know, forward that on to your boss or whatever. So the other thing, too, is, you know, the stage that they're at in the sales cycle. You have some people at the very beginning stage of it. You have people more toward the end. So depending on where they are in that sales cycle, well, it's going to lead them to what they're going to find relevant and valuable. The other thing that you can do too is, if you really want to be more relevant and valuable, is, you know, go over to LinkedIn and Facebook groups. I would say more Facebook groups at this point, because sadly, I think a lot of the LinkedIn groups have really pretty much died. And, you know, I'm sitting here fighting back the tears, man, because I have a group over there with 62,000 members and it's down to a trickle as far as activity. And that's what happens in life. But over on, but there's still some really active groups out there, but also certainly over on Facebook. And what you're going to do is look and see what the hot topics are. If you belong to trade associations, go in there, go on their websites. A lot of them have forums. And see what people are talking about. If they don't have forums, they definitely are going to have articles that are going to be written. Look at what the topics are that they're doing. It's kind of cool because they're doing the work for you, because they sit around. They have to be relevant to you. So they're doing what you're really looking to do. So some of this work will be done for you. Look what they're writing about, because that's what their readers usually want to be hearing about. So that'll help you. So again, example, I serve amongst many other industries, the printing industry. So if I went on whatthethink.com, or if I went over onto LinkedIn and went into printing sales professionals, or I went into, you know, one of, you know, Deborah Korn's groups or whatever, I could see what people are talking about and what the hot topics are. Again, that'll help me now to be more relevant to the decision makers that I'm trying to serve. But also too, how about your observations of a certain industry or that vertical, things that you're seeing that are going on, questions that you're typically asked. So here's your assignment now that we have officially beaten the hell out of the very first question I want you to ask. Your assignment is start with yourself. I want you to think this through. And the question is, how can I be relevant and valuable to decision makers right now? Again, that's the key thing. We're talking right now, right this second, so that you're not antiquated. You're not like so yesterday to them. You know, you're so 2000 and late, right? No, we have to be relevant to them. So once you do that, I want you to go to your boss, or if you are the boss, I don't mean Springsteen, I mean like the boss of your team. I want you to set up a sales meeting and brainstorm this with the team. Brings us to question number two. What's a compelling reason to either meet, and you could, this is kind of two questions in one. What's a compelling reason to meet now, or it might be to buy now versus after the pandemic? Let me say it again. What's a compelling reason to meet now or buy now versus after the pandemic? And again, I'm not gonna beat this one up as much, but I wanna give you some idea starters. So one of my clients, we did this exercise, and they do investment properties. One of the things they found as a compelling reason, and I don't want you to just come up with one, I want you to come up with as many reasons as you can. Why? Well, then it's kind of cool because you could choose your weapon instead of being limited to just one, you know, inferior weapon here. But the other thing, the other reason why you really want to look for as many compelling reasons is because sometimes you think something is compelling, you throw it at somebody and they're having no part of it. So now what else you got? You don't want to go home with empty pockets. So the investment property company, one of the things that they came up with, well, what's a compelling reason to meet now, buy now? Well, mortgage rates right now are pretty much about as low as they could get. So it'd be a really good time to pounce on that. Some of my friends in the printing industry, we did this exercise. What's a good reason to meet now, buy now, versus after the pandemic? Well, as far as direct mail, they were saying, well, there's less noise. Yeah, bravo, man. And I'm not being a wise ass. Absolutely, there's less noise. And I can tell you what, I don't know what it is, man, but it's like I'm still like a little kid when it comes to the mail coming. Probably because we always have stuff from Amazon and all kinds of stuff coming our way. So the letter carrier drops the stuff off and I'm looking in the mail immediately as if there's like one publisher's clearinghouse or something. But I can tell you there's this less direct mail in my inbox. So you can get in my mailbox, and that to some of you might be a reason why you think direct mail is ineffective. See, nobody's doing it. See, I think differently. If I look at it where the pack is running, obviously with direct mail, the pack is running in a different direction. But then I say to myself, okay, but if the pack is running in a different direction, what opportunity did they just completely miss? Because they're running in the wrong direction. So to me, I see that as attractive. But also, let's take another one. Let's take my business. I better understand my business, right? Otherwise, we're all in trouble. Sales training. So what's a compelling reason for us to meet now and you to buy now for sales training? Well, because you need the tools now. Again, I fight back every ounce of my inner New York smartass. I almost want to pat somebody on the head and say, bless your heart. I mean, bless your heart. Of course, it makes perfect sense to wait until you don't effing need the tools anymore. I have the tools now. So what are you going to do? Wait until you lay off more people, you get the shit kicked out of you on the battlefield, to say suddenly, now we need Paul Castain. I mean, you know, I can't say it to him. I want to say, use your effing head, dude. Right? So that is a compelling reason, right? Not the way I said it. I was just having some fun here. But, you know, I really want you to think about, what would be some compelling reasons why you guys, you know, why someone should meet with you and buy from you now versus after the pandemic? So your assignment is you start with yourself. You answer those questions. You think about it. Put some time on it. I don't want you taking 3 years to do it. Then I want you to go and bring this to your sales team and brainstorm it. But then, now, what are you going to do with this information once you have it? And that's kind of another podcast that's also part of a course that I'm going to be talking about. But what do you kind of do with this? But part of it is that this should be rolled into your messaging. Once you know the compelling reasons why it's important to be utilizing your solution now versus after the pandemic, well, then you use it in your sales messaging. You use it proactively. And then when you're hit with an objection, this is a perfect part of your response. Because you don't want to just get cutesy and do the old feel felt fine or some other stupid, antiquated sales rebuttal tactic that really should have gone out to pasture in 1975, back when my dad was selling. That's kind of crazy, right? I mean, seriously. So what you want to do is be able to give them some substance and say, well, here's why it's in your best interest to meet now versus later, to buy now versus later. So that's why I want you to take this exercise serious. So now it brings us to the third and final one. And this is just something that if you've been following me for a while, you know I obsess over it this time of year. I mean, it's serious. You have to have this in here every single year. And it's a compelling reason to meet now, buy now, versus after the holidays. Now, what really cracks me up, again, I'm really embracing my inner smartass a lot today, but it's all in fun because I just want you to get the message. And, you know, how can I say this nicely? But people this time of year, and not so much now, beginning of October, but we're going to see it in full swing right after Thanksgiving here in the U.S. People in sales are going to really act shocked over the holidays. They are going to, especially the holiday blow off. Yeah, you know what? Call me back after the holidays. You know what? Call me back after Christmas. Call me back after the new year. And they act shocked as if holidays were just invented. Holidays have been a part of your life. I'm not talking about whether or not you celebrate them, but they have existed your entire lifetime. So don't you dare act as if somebody met secretly in the middle of the night while you were sleeping and said, I know, for a goof, we're going to have this thing called the holidays every year. Just for the hell of it, for shits and giggles. Let's call it the holidays. It's been around you your whole life. If you've been in business, if you've been in sales, you know that in many industries, most, there is this mental checkout that happens. And some of us have done it too. Where it's like, oh yeah, you know, I hear White Christmas playing on Pandora. It's on my Spotify list. Hey, it's the, you know, because, yeah, I'm going to hang out with the fam. And yeah, this will be there. Yeah, I don't need to meet with people now. And it just comes to a, business falls off a freaking cliff for a lot of people during the holiday season. So you've got to plan for it, and you got to do it now. The best thing you could ever do is be prepared for something before you're emotionally attached to the situation. So if you're trying to figure out how you're going to respond to call me back after the holidays, you're going to wait until somebody actually says it to you. That is a horrible plan. I'm just going to tell you. No nice way to say that to you, by the way. I'm not going to be politically correct and tell you it all nice and warm. I'm telling you, that's just not a good look for you doing it that way. If you're going to wait. Well, you know, it's October. I shouldn't be thinking about it now. Are you kidding me? Of course you should be thinking about it now. Because if this year's taught us anything, it is just a shit show. Of course you should be thinking about it. Not only should you be thinking about it, you should be training for it now. You should be prepared with a rebuttal to somebody saying, call me back after the holidays. And the way that you're going to do it is by coming up with these compelling reasons. So again, to get you thinking, are there financial reasons? Why now versus in January? And, you know, I'm not going to do it this year because I actually have a soul and a heart. But last year I did it, and I raised my prices. I had had the same coaching rates forever, and I moved them from $1,800 to $1,999. And with some of the people that I was talking to, I said, hey, listen, you might think this is the most basic, predictable sales tactic in the world. I didn't just read the Bad Closes book the other day, but this is legit. I'm actually, the reason why you might want to go now with it, if you're sure you're going to do it, I would do it now. And the reason why is because it's going to cost you $200 more to do it in January. And we're talking about 3 weeks from now. Do it now. So that could be financial reasons, but there's more to it than that. It could be the timing. Example, we'll go to training again. You have a lot of people, when we come up on year end, and even right now, people love to tell me, well, right now we're in our year end sprint. Let's talk after the holidays. Well, my response, I'm not necessarily going to say it like this, but here's the gist of the compelling reason. Well, now is actually better because, I mean, you can hit the ground running in January. I mean, versus just starting to think about it when the game is starting. Again, I use that analogy a lot. And sometimes you have to point out with humor, if you can get away with it and you know their personality, how crazy the idea of putting something off is. And that's what I'll do because, again, my personality, I feel I can play it off. I wouldn't do this with somebody who has given me a hard time and has been oversensitive the whole time throughout the sales cycle. But a lot of the people that I deal with, they've heard me on the podcast. They know I curse. They know that I have maybe a little bit more of an in-your-face type of attitude. So, you know, in those cases, they kind of know where I'm going with things. And in those things, I'll say to them, hey, let me ask you a question. Are you into football? Yeah, what team do you like? And then they tell me. I said, well, let me ask you a question. How would you feel if, you know, you put on, you're ready to watch the Jet game, and the game hasn't started. And you see them all, they're all just sitting around. And then you look, and now it's 20 minutes late. They still haven't started. But they're standing around talking. And there's a guy, you know, with the chalkboard and the football plays and stuff. And they're talking about different plays and planning. Now it's an hour in. They still haven't started the game. But you look, and they're watching game tape. And they're doing all this shit. Except, guess what? Playing the damn game. But isn't it the same thing that you propose in here? Waiting? So what? We're gonna wait until the new game starts playing to plan for the new game? Are you kidding me? We should be planning 2021 right now. We shouldn't be waiting until January 1st to start working on our New Year's resolutions and our New Year's goals or whatever. Like, why? I never understood that. Why is that so magical? I understand we're starting clean. But, like, why aren't we starting right now on October 4th? This is a year, man. I need an extra 2-3 months rather than waiting. So, what's the compelling reason? But also to get you thinking, I mean, you know, what can you say to them to offer as kind of a, you know, compelling reason? It could be, again, with the timing thing, if your solution takes a little while to get up and running. Like, for example, if you wanted to hire me to come in and train your sales team, this isn't something, well, he just has to get the money. No, I've got to really understand what it is that you want to accomplish. Then we start crafting different outlines. And we go back and forth a lot until we say, okay, this is cool. Then after that, and meanwhile, we're coordinating training space and logistics, and if people are traveling in, or in this case, if it's going to be virtual with the pandemic. But then from there, I'm going to start creating. I have to write the script for the training. I have to think about all the homework assignments. I have to create all the slides. I have to think about group activities. I have to think about reinforcement, things that we're going to do. I have to think about reinforcement modules after the training. So it takes some time. And that's a long-winded way of me saying, not only does it take time, but I usually operate on a 30-day window. So if here it is, and it's December, and you want me in there in January, you don't wait until January to get going with the process with me. So I use that to my advantage, and I reverse engineer that decision. I say, okay, well, if ideally you want me in January, we would have to come to a decision right there, right in the first week of December, if you want me in there the first week of January. And in there, you have to realize that we are going to lose some time because we've got Christmas and New Year's and, you know, holiday scheduling. So, yeah, time is of the essence. But I want you to think about it. I might not have given you the best examples there, but again, I want you to come up with those compelling reasons that are going to be compelling to your buyer, to the person you're trying to you know, either have them meet with you now or buy now versus after the holidays. So again, start with yourself, do this exercise. Then I want you to go to your sales team and have a meeting. And that's the assignment. So there you have it. You have three things that I want you to think about and come up with answers for. Number one, you know, in what ways can you be more relevant and valuable right now to decision makers? You could, whether those decision makers are your clients or your prospects, that's fine. Also, number two, a compelling reason to meet now, buy now versus after the pandemic. Number three, a compelling reason, actually compelling reasons. I don't want just one. I want as many as you could possibly come up with. Compelling reasons why you're going to meet now, buy now, versus after the holidays. So there you have it, folks. Now, before you go, I just want to tell you a very quick story. And yes, it's going to lead to just kind of a mini sales pitch. I'm going to be open and upfront with you about that. But I heard some kind of sad news for me the other day, and I'm sure you guys have experienced this too. We have a diner that, and out here in New York, we have these cool things called diners. I love them. And what's nice about it is that if there was a few of us and we wanted to go get a bite to eat, everybody could get something because it's had really every kind of food imaginable. I mean, you could order breakfast there at dinner time. I don't know if there's any other people like me and my wife that are fans of breakfast for dinner every once in a while, but I'm a fan of it. And I'm sure if you saw my belly, you would say my belly agrees. So, but, you know, my wife was telling me that the place, you know, I don't know if you caught that, but due to COVID-19, they're going to be shutting down. And it bothers me because they've been around. I remember being in a band and playing gigs and going there. They used to be open 24/7, these diners out here. And that changed a few years ago. And now with the pandemic, most of these places during the week, especially, are closing maybe 8, 9 o'clock at night. So it's a very different type of world that we're living in with the diners out here. And I used to go there 3, 4, 5 in the morning with my band after we played a gig, and we'd be having breakfast there all, you know, kind of hungover and looking rather ragged. And we drove by there the other day, and I see a sign in the window, going to be closing due to COVID-19. And what I'm about to say is going to sound rather insensitive, but I think it has to be said. I would never say this to them because they're just wonderful people. And just like anybody else, right? We all know good people. We're all good people at the end of the day. But I said to my wife, it's kind of bullshit to blame this on COVID-19. Again, some of you might be reacting like, oh, wow. You know, Paul, that was just, I was with you until, wow, I didn't know you was such a piece of shit to say that. I don't mean it that way. But I want to explain what I'm talking about. It really wasn't COVID-19. These people did not respond properly to COVID-19. Seriously, I know it's a tough one, but you don't get to put your head down and tap out the whole time this thing's going on and then act surprised that your business went under or surprised that you got fired as a sales rep because you weren't making it happen. And what I mean by that, let me just give you some examples before you write me off as, oh, wow, he just turned shithead right there. But let me give you a couple of quick examples about this diner. Again, I love them. I've spoken to the owner over the years. He knows us. You know, the sight of us greets me warmly every time. Just an awesome guy. I feel horrible that he's going out of business. But let me explain something. When this thing first hit and all the places were shut down here in New York, he was very slow to get a curbside pickup type of thing going. So he was shut down. He panicked. Again, I get it. This was a really scary thing that happened. And it's human nature, fight or flight. And guess what? This guy ran. And so, okay, shit happens. I get it. But it was like a month that he just went and buried his head in the sand. So now he gets the curbside pickup thing. He was really slow, as in maybe just up until a few weeks ago. And how many months are we into this thing? Like 6-7 months into the pandemic? He didn't have a means to deliver. All these other places, you can get the stuff delivered. And I'm sitting here and I'm saying to myself, you got all these people out of work. When I'm ordering food from DoorDash and Grubhub and all that, a lot of these people, these aren't college kids that are coming and delivering this food. I'm seeing, you know, old asses like myself doing this that probably either got laid off during this whole thing, or people that just need to get a few extra bucks in right now and are willing to hustle. But they did not have a delivery person. And it was only a few weeks ago that they decided to partner with Grubhub or one of them, or maybe a few of them. But again, it was too late. They never modified their website to something where you could order online. And there are places that cater specifically to the restaurant industry. And they'll put the whole menu up there and they'll manage the website and everything. And this guy was kicking ass at one point. Standing room only if he came there at dinner time, even during the week. And then it just trickled all down. So again, I'm not sitting here making fun of the guy. I'm not sitting here saying he's an idiot and he deserved it. No, I'm just saying that he never changed the plan. Now, what does that have to do with you? I think some of you guys have done the same thing. I mean, heck, there's even been some things that I look back and I say, I should have been quicker. I mean, you know, there's also things I think I did very well. I mean, to give myself an ounce of credit, when this whole thing hit, do you know that within 2 weeks of everything shutting down, I had a COVID-19 four-part course up, running. I had the whole thing written, all the slides done, all the assignments. I had it set up so that people had accountability partners. I promoted it. I had a sales page. I did all this stuff within 2 weeks of it. But there's other things that I look back and I say, man, I should have done it quicker. There's even one thing I never did that I should have done. You know what that is? Over on my website, I have on-demand webinars. And guess what people want right now? On-demand webinars. I never updated it. The last time I updated my on-demand webinar page was 2017 when we launched the new website. Meanwhile, I've done a new webinar almost like pretty religiously, even non-religiously if you're not into that thing. But seriously, like pretty religiously every 2 weeks since then. So do you know how many more webinars I could be offering up on that page at a time when people want that stuff because they don't want to be in a classroom with other people and be at risk, or their company isn't letting them, or the local laws aren't allowing it? I never did it, but here's my kind of wake-up call I want to give you guys. How about you? Did you ever change the plan? Have you been late to the party? Do you really think that maybe this is going to be, you know, gone tomorrow, whatever? How's that working out for you? Because you might have just that same stubbornness that you did when it started. And then, you know, I'm hoping at some point you have a holy shit, it's been 7 months moment. And I'm telling you, you're missing things if you're not adapting. So there's something that I've offered a few times. And I'm hoping maybe this is the time that it resonates with you. But I put together a course that's designed for prospecting during uncertain times. And what's really cool about the course is that not only are there COVID-19 specific tactics and templates to, it really designed to help you to adapt to a much different prospecting landscape. Again, you are fooling yourself if you think that things haven't changed out there, that you can keep saying things the same way you did before the pandemic, that you can contact people with the same level of frequency as you did before the pandemic. All kinds of studies are coming out showing that the responsiveness rate of prospects has dropped dramatically since this whole thing has started. So things really have to change, and you have to change with them. And this course is a great start for you, because there's probably, I'm guessing, a good 100 or so tactics, at least 75, but I believe there's over 100. I have templates that in there, the language is designed around the pandemic. So it's a lot friendlier. It's a lot softer. It kind of addresses some things that might be going through their mind as far as why they might want to hesitate right now. And that's kind of a good tactic to use too, by the way. Just kind of bringing to light that elephant in the room. And I show you kind of how to talk it through with people in a way that makes sense. And the other thing about this course that's very different than the other ones I've done is that there are assignments or assignment after each session. And there's four sessions that are pre-recorded. You go at your own pace. But if you do the assignments, because I can't make you do the assignments, but when you do the assignments and you send them to me, you're going to get personalized feedback. So what you're going to get with this course is not only all the templates, not only a good 100 tactics, but you're going to get the same level of feedback that those coaching clients that are dropping $2,000 are getting, and you're getting it for a hell of a lot less. So if you'd like to at least look into, well, what's this course all about? What is it going to be offering? What topics? What can I expect? What do I get? Visit yoursalesplaybook.com/sell now. yoursalesplaybook.com/sell now. With that, I'm Paul Castain from yoursalesplaybook.com. I am wishing you an incredible week ahead. Go get them. The Sales Playbook Podcast is a Castain Training Systems production. Subscribe to our free sales tips by visiting yoursalesplaybook.com/subscribe.